Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We have been talking about this area of authority. Still? Yeah. When we begin to understand that and embrace it, it's going to change everything in your life. It changes everything. Because it changes the way you see things, the way you see yourself. Because see, you the love of God is authority. Because it's the kingdom of God. It says we've been delivered from the powers of darkness. The power is authority. The authority over darkness doesn't rule over us anymore. Colossians 1:13. We've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's a love. It's the love of God. That's why it says the love of God is growing cold. In Matthew 24, the love of God is growing cold because lawlessness is abounding. Lawlessness means willful disobedience to the authority of God. Well, that's evident in our world today. Lawlessness is abounding. And where that's abounding, you won't find the love of God. You see that? Where the love of God is, you're willing to submit to authority. Because see, Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. It's not of this world. So you're submitting to a kingdom that's not of this world. You're in the world, but you're under a whole nother rule. But you're willing to submit to the one who's here. See that? That takes some understanding. And when we understand that, boy, life takes on a whole new meaning. And we're not always resisting it. You know, it talks about in our foundational scripture, it says that if you resist authority, it brings judgment on yourself. Well, you watch the news, you see people who will resist arrest. You know, they get pulled over by the police, and the police are there because they want to be. They're there to serve and help the community and the city limits that they've been established in to keep those limits enforced. And now you got somebody who says they don't want to adhere to what's going on, and they resist arrest, what happens? Strife breaks out and conflict, and somebody ends up losing their life. See, wherever there's strife, every evil work is there. When you resist God's authority, it brings strife into your life. It invites it. And strife, it says where there's strife, in James chapter 3, there's every evil work. The word evil there is all that is encompassed in evil from the fall. All of it shows up right there where you're resisting authority. So this is why we want to embrace authority. You know, I don't particularly like what I'm seeing going on in the government. You know, you see what's going on in Jerusalem. You see all this conflict. It wasn't there when the other president was there. Now you got all this conflict, and you're seeing all these things with the gas line, all these things changing. Because you're under, there's another rule. But you see, we're still under the kingdom. And so here it is. God wants you and I to submit to Him and show that, even in the midst of all the high gas prices, all that's going on, that you got peace and you have joy. Because you're under another authority. And you now you become a witness for Christ in the midst of all. You don't run around and echo all the negative problems that are on the news and going on with the government. You don't echo all that. You're echoing what God is saying to you. Good news. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. And literally, the first time that good news, the gospel, was spoken when Jesus showed up. And it literally means too good to be true news. That's what it is. It's too good to be true news, Stephanie. What do you think about that? Too good to be true. And that's what it is. And that's what we're to be carriers of. How are we going to carry news when we got to... Well, the gas line, you can't, $3 a gallon of gas, and you know you... I want to follow that. I want some of that. Not me. But you see, when you still have joy and your bills are paid and your family's loving each other and life is good in the midst of all that, because you're under a whole nother authority. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God. Romans 14:17. And nobody can take it from you. They can't take your peace and they can't take your joy. You see that? That's powerful. We're talking about that today. But we're talking about what takes that from us. And we're going to talk about pride.
Ooh, that again?
Yeah. Because see, listen. If we don't see our enemy, we can't deal with it. If you're blind to it, you can't see it, do it. You can't deal with it. But when you can see it, now you can deal with it. And guess what? All of us have a problem in that area. Every one of us. Look at the person next to you and say, you're just as messed up as I am. Judy, you're just as messed up as I am. She said, I hope not. You all need to laugh a little bit. But, folks, listen. I believe this is God's word speaking to people across the nation. We got to deal with our own pride. And see, when you do that, you're able to love people who are abusing you or saying things against you or coming against you. You see that? Because God's grace is flowing through you. You see that? You can love your boss if he's got bourbon breath. And if he's meaner than a junkyard dog, you can still love him and pray for him and do what he says. And do it with joy. When you're under his kingdom. And see, this is where God is calling the church. Remember, he's building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against. See that? Gates represent authority. All authority from hell is going to try to come against you. It has nothing when you understand what we're talking about. But pride invites it. Pride invites it because you're trying to do it in your own strength. And this is what we're going to talk about today. So let's go to our foundational scripture. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You see that? Boy, that's profound when we understand. See, when we understand this, it's like, what on earth? Why didn't I get this a long time ago? The reason you didn't get it is you weren't listening. Well, I needed to hear that today. That's the truth, though. When we start to listen, and really, faith comes by hearing. Hearing just doesn't mean you're in the room and it's going on. Hearing means I hear it. I hear it. I'm gonna apply this thing in my life. See that? And everything in the kingdom is by faith. So let's look at this. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts. Thank you for what you're doing in our nation. And Lord, you know all the details. And Lord, you know everyone in this room and everyone of your children. So Lord, we just pray that we would receive from you today all that you have for us, that we would receive the word of God with meekness, the very word that is able to save our soul, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Okay, so remember the word resist also is the word oppose. So when we resist, we're opposing. We're at opposite. We're on the opposite team. Let's say it that way. You're a Browns fan, and the Bungles and the Browns are playing. You just switched over to the Bungles or the Bengals. Don't get mad at me, guys. I'm just having fun. It's all right. Oh, here we go. That's pride. But you see this? You're actually playing on the other team. When you oppose, opposite. Frustrated also means frustrate, to prevent from obtaining a goal or purpose. You are the one bringing that. God can't fulfill his will in your life when you're opposing him all the time. It says he gives grace to the humble, the one who's dependent on him. Now he's going to give you grace. Favor. I want God's favor on my life. How about you? I want his favor on my life. It makes life sweeter when his favor's on you. It makes it sweeter. I like sweetness. How about you? All right. I want you to think about this. When we were created, you had nothing to do you had nothing to do with how you were created. In your mother's womb, you were knit together in your mother's womb, and you had nothing to do with that. Nothing. You were in there. You came out. You showed up on earth here. Guess how much you had to do with that? Nothing. Not a nary. Nothing. So think about that. So here's the thing. But we have to understand that even our parents, they're really, were just assigned by God to get you here to do his will. So really, it's not your parents. See, people will blame their parents on their life, the whole time they're here. They have nothing to do with what you're doing. You see that? You have to be responsible for who you are. Remember, my response is my responsibility. And so, that's what God calls you to. And I have to take ownership of that. If not, you'll be blaming others for all your problems, all your life, and that's what you'll have at the end of your life, is nothing of any eternal value. Now, think about this. So God breathed into your soul life. When we're born, we are helpless. We are helpless. If we are without assistance, you will not make it. If I don't have somebody putting a bottle in my mouth and changing my britches and burping me and helping me, and I'm not going to make it. You take a baby out there, they're not going to make it. But you have people that want to claim, this is my life, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I did it my way. Who's that, Frank Sinatra? I'm in charge. I'm in control. I'm going to tell you something. You can be nothing apart from God. You hear me? You cannot be self-sufficient. That's the essence of pride. When you say, I'm self-sufficient. No. That won't work. You can't do it. Now listen. Or we can be autonomous from God. I can get it done my way. I have everything it takes to do what I need to do. I want to be on my own. I'm dependent on no one. Identity and worth. Self-absorption and self-centeredness and independence. People think they can live their life on their own. I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest things we struggle with in church is this thing of being independent. Well, I'll come to church. I'll show up. But, you know, after that, I'm done, you know. Don't be calling me, you know. I'm coming to you, but I'll be, you know. I can take care of myself. I mean, come on. No, you can't. This independent idea. Well, I can do everything. I can go do good things down here and Salvation Army and give and do. But you know what? It's empty. When you're doing that in your own deal, it has no eternal value. If I won't look to my Maker, who am I looking to? If I won't look to my Maker and Creator, who am I looking to? Yourself. If I'm not going to get my identity from God, I'm going to have to make it myself. Well, I'm going to have to make my own identity. That's the epitome of pride. People are born a certain way. They say, well, I'm going to change that. They had nothing to do with it. But they're going to change it? Are you hearing me? Born a boy and I'm going to, or born a girl and I'm going to become a boy? That's at its height, the epitome of pride. You see this? I'm just trying to help us see. I'm not bashing people. I'm trying to help you understand. When we understand this, life takes on a whole new meaning. You see, because when you have that kind of pride, you can't see. I like what Ryan said. If you're looking at yourself all the time, that's what you're going to become. You got to look at God. You see this? Pride is like dandelions. Give a weed an inch and it'll take a yard. Nobody's ever heard that before, have you? I thought that is the coolest commercial when I first heard it. Because it's true, you know? Because they'll take over. I remember when I lived in Tip City and I built my house and I was doing my grass and I did all that myself. That's the only thing I did is I, you know, tilled up everything and planted grass seed and put straw down, and it all started growing. I was all proud of it. But I had some dandelions out there, you know. They were popping up everywhere. And this guy across the street, he'd been there for 10 years already. He's all manicured and looking like, you know, a rose garden. I mean, it's beautiful. He walked across the street. You know what those dandelions are? They represent sin. I said, I'll give you some sin. No, I didn't say that. I'm telling you the truth. So I thought, okay. But I knew, you know, I knew what I just moved into. But we got along after that, and it was all good. But it's true. In the proper environment and soil, they'll grow everywhere. Right? Now, pride tries to make good things into ultimate things. It becomes pervasive because it's so inwardly focused. It becomes pervasive. Now, go with me to Galatians 5:26. Let us not become conceited, which is another word for pride, to be conceited. Provoking one another, envying one another. There's two forms of pride there. Provoking one another. When you ever get around people, they provoke you. Always provoking you. They have a superiority complex. Always provoking you. You ever get around that? That's pride. And they think they're better. In their mind, they've got it made up that, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. It's like this kid was in the fifth grade, and he comes home, says, "Mommy, I'm the smartest kid in my class." She says, she was in the kitchen, and he yelled it, you know, from the living room. She said, "Excuse me? Did I hear you right? What did you say?" He said, "I'm the smartest kid in my class." She says, "Oh, did your teacher tell you that?" He says, "No, I told her that." Sometimes we think we're smarter, don't we? Envy is the other side of this, and it's inferior. It's inferior. You see that? How come things don't work out for me? It's working out for everybody else, but it just doesn't seem to work out for me. That's inferior. How come they can do this and I can't? Because you've got this pride complex. Am I making sense today? Envy's something that we all wrestle with. How come they can have that and I can't? How come they can live in a house like that and I can't? Or how come their church is like that and mine isn't? Or how come? Envy. That's pride. Inferior. You ever hear this one? I can forgive everybody. I just can't forgive myself. See, you've made a standard in your own imagination that you'll never reach. So you can stay in that unforgiveness. And you've put it above God. And that's your pride. See that? Because when you believe God and you understand God, you'll forgive not only yourself, but everybody you come in contact with who crosses you in a wrong way. Immediately you forgive them. Because you have the love of God flowing in your life. When you have that flowing in your life, it becomes your protection. Yeah, I can't forgive myself. Huh. Anybody ever heard that? Pride can get religious. Religious means is outward. Pride is always concerned with the outward, what it looks like. But humility is what God calls us to be humble. So His grace can flow through you and others and get on others and help people. His grace empowers you. C.S. Lewis, I've quoted this before, and I love this because it depicts humility in a very healthy way. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. See that? It's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. See that? In this area of your identity, oh boy, listen to me. When you have love flowing through you, the love of God, and it's flowing through you, the issue of identity is settled. It's over with. I know who I am. Because the love of God is flowing into me, and now it's flowing out of me. It's settled. You don't have to get on Facebook and show them your new car or show them what you're doing now because of what you used. I used to be this way and I used to be that way, but now look at me. Dude. That's pride. Are you listening to me? When you always have, you see, you know what that is? You're wanting approval. You want to be approval because you've yet to really discover how much God loves you. That's insecurity. That's the root of pride. But when you know you're loved, shoot, I don't have to tell anybody. Let it come to you. It'll come to you. Everything you need will come to you. You don't have to get on and flaunt it and show everybody. Am I talking to the right people? Aren't you glad you came to church today? Nothing wrong with Facebook, but I'm trying to show. Well, yeah, there is too. But what I'm trying to help you see is it has its place. But when you got to get on there and let everybody know what your vacation is and, oh, you're there and they're there. And see, that's empty. And that's a problem in your heart. And that'll get on your kids. That'll get in your family. That's insecurity. That's, you know, we're laughing right now. That's serious. That's why the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might that you'll stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means technology, organized strategies and technical procedures designed to handle a subject. There's so much technology today, and it will handle you. It will control you. And there's another force behind it. And I'm not being super spiritual. I'm not. I'm telling you, this is what's going on. That's why you got people that know what you're doing in your house through that little device in your hand. They know what's going on up in there. They know everything. More than you think they do. That's why you got to know who you are. So when the love of God is really flowing through your life, you're secure. You're secure, and the issue of your identity is settled.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.